Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your name. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we just humbly come before your throne of grace and mercy, Lord God. Father, first of all, we just give you praise, give you honor, and give you glory for you being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you, Father, that you've ushered this day, Father, that you have created this day that we may be that we may rejoice and be glad in it. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for everything that was in this day. We thank you, Father, for your grace and your hand of mercy that was upon us, God, your hand of love that kept us. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, as we come just reverencing you and acknowledge you, God, we acknowledge you in all thy ways that you may direct our path. So, God, we just praise you right now. We honor you. We take it not for granted at this time in your presence. We thank you for this time in your presence. We thank you for this time that we're able just to take time out just to praise you and worship you and give you honor. You're worthy of all praise. You're worthy of all honor, God. You're worthy, and you desire to be praised and magnified, and we shall be that vessel, that creation that you've created that shall give you the glory. So, Father God, right now, we pray, God, that if there's anything that comes between you and us, you and I, and you and thee, that, Lord God, you begin to remove it now. So, Father God, any iniquity, any sin, anything that we have laid in our hearts and harbored, Father, we command right now by the authority of Jesus Christ that it is removed. We allow you right now to acknowledge it and to remove it and to eradicate it, to do as you see fit. That, Lord God, we may come to you in spirit and in truth. Father, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of anything that we may have done, seen, watched, said, thought, whatever the case may be, Father God. We ask you, forgive us. And teach us and keep us in your ways, God, that our minds and our hearts shall be pure before you, that we can think thoughts of pureness and joy and grace and love. Father, we come against the plot of the enemy that tries to destroy everyone, every mindset that tries to be destroyed, every spirit that tries to hinder our attitude and our minds. Father, we come against it now. But Lord God, we ask that you begin to build us up. We build ourselves up in the most holy faith of you, God, knowing your word and knowing who you are in our lives. We honor and we thank you for these things. And Father God, we just begin to allow you to use us, Father, to your ability, to what you desire and what you see fit. So Father, lead and guide us tonight, that we may be able to hear your word, hear your direction, hear your voice. Know what it is that you desire for us. What is it you desire that we may do? What is it that you desire that we may say? I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you would begin to be a true and pure vessel of you, that will be led and guided and yielded as you see fit, that God will be used so that our fruits may be magnified, that our fruits may be seen, our fruits may be presented back to you as a sweet sacrifice, a sweet Savior, that you'll be pleased in the work that you have allowed us to do, that, Father, that the grace and the dispensation that you have sacrificed for us, God, that we will bring it back to you, that their word will not return void, but God, it will establish that which you have purposed and sent it out to do in our lives. So, Father God, we are the essence of that word that you have spoken. We are the very essence, and we live and we thrive, and we begin to flow and we begin to breathe on the word that you have given us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the remediation of our sins, the reconciliation that we have to you now. We thank you, Father, that this is the time, this is the season, that, Lord God, that every relationship has to be tested. And I'm talking about a relationship when it comes to the relationship between you and us, God, that it has to be tested, it has to be proven, and it has to be strengthened now. So, God, we just thank you that we're able to come here and to magnify and praise your name. I pray right now, Father, the sound of my voice, that, God, that people that come on this podcast, people that are hearing my voice, either be recorded or be it live, that, Lord God, that your grace, your glory, that it not be me, Father, not be my agenda, not be my plan, but Lord God, I pray that you allow me to decrease, for I'm nothing but a filthy rag. I'm nothing but flesh. I'm nothing but just a form of clay. I'm just a vessel, sometimes broken and always being repaired. I thank you, Father, that you saw fit to use me in every capacity. I take no praise. I take no honor or no delight or no pride in anything that I have achieved or I have done, Father, but it's all about you and what you have allowed me to do through your grace. And I thank you, Father, that you have always yielded and you have always led me. I thank you, Father, how you tore down every shackle, every stronghold, every wall, every fetter that was before us. I thank you, Father, that you've already given us the victory. And Lord God, any battle that seems to come, Father, we already know that you have already played it out. For Father, you have gone before time, while we are in time, to make sure that we will reach the destination beyond that particular struggle, that we will see the place of victory in you. And as long as we divide or bind ourselves in your word, divide ourselves or bind ourselves with your word and with your son, Jesus Christ, that Lord God, you will protect us. You hide us in the most shadow of your high wing, that we shall not be touched by the enemy. But Lord God, we should be able to move with ease, without any obstruction, without any hindrance, without any irritation or frustration, that we shall be able to move with ease into that place of victory that you have ordained for us, that place of peace and joy that you have offered and you have allowed us to step into, that place, God, that you have ordained for us to be at. Father, we want to get to that place. That is the place, God, that you desire that your children would dwell. That is our promised land. And that promised land is in your presence. That promised land is in the place where you are, God. For God, we understand that nothing can dwell in your presence. Nothing can stand there when you are there. Nothing can be raised up higher than you, because you are the highest and you are the most high. Nothing can go lower than you, God, because you are deeper than any river in any valley, Father. Nothing can go to the left or to the right, but God, because you are wider than everything. You take up every nook and cranny of this space and every nook and cranny of this world, every chasm. The places even where the clouds are separated, God, you fill up that place. And Father, we thank you that, God, you are awesome in all your ways. You are abundance. You are ignanimous, Father. I don't even have a word to say it. I will make up a few of them many times before, but God, I just want to describe how you are, and I couldn't even fathom a word would even come to even be close to what you are to us. So Father, I thank you, Father. I thank you for how you kept us. I thank you, Father, for how you made a way, how you made a way out of no way, Father. Even when our hearts are overwhelmed, God, you led us to the rock that was higher than I. When, Father, we felt like we wanted to throw in the towel and didn't seem like we would be able to keep our head above water, you lifted us up, Father. You strengthened our hind legs, and God, for that, we praise you. We honor you. I thank you, Father, that you've been able to go in every situation for every believer. And Lord God, you begin to show yourself strong. While one person is having a situation or an issue that they need you to move, you're already moving. And God, at the same time you're moving in their situation, Father God, even though sometimes we may not understand it, we may not see it, we may not even discern it properly, but God, you're still moving in our direction on the other situation. So Father, I thank you that your hands are in all places at the same time. We thank you, Father, that God, you have the ability, Father, to touch, love, and love everybody, and to heal, deliver, and set free everyone, every time, all the time, anytime, as you choose fit, for God, for your purpose and your plan. So Lord God, I thank you that healing is our portion. Deliverance is our portion. Blessings are our portion. For God, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. And Lord God, I thank you that we are the first and not last. We are rich and not poor. We are the head and not the tail. Father, we are victorious and we're not defeated. And so, Father God, we hold our head up high in victory, that we may understand and know that you are the victorious one. And when we keep our eyes upon you, and Father God, we see the champion that's inside of us, which is Christ Jesus. For God, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So Father, we allow Christ to be magnified in us. We allow Christ to be identified in us. We allow Christ to be illuminated in us. Father, let people, when they see us, they see Christ. They see his love, his movements, his flow, his voice. Let them see everything about us, Father. Even when our process has been determined to be treacherous, when our process is a crushing, where we know that we're not going to come out like we were, but that we shall be transformed into something that is made new. We thank you that even in that crushing, Father, that whatever it is that you desire to extract out of us is something that you desire to have, something that you desire to use. And that, Father, we bless and honor you, and we give you glory, and we give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for your revelation. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you, Father, for the anointing that is flowing in the houses of every believer. Thank you for your presence that is magnifying itself. Father, we thank you that your train is filling the temple of our hearts and expanding in a greater measure. We thank you, God. So, Father God, anyone that comes on this sound, on this podcast, we speak a supernatural blessing upon them right now, that God, they'll have more than enough, that all needs shall be met. And God, I pray and I speak the riches of your kingdom to be fallen, to fall down upon them freshly and with favor, with that, without measure. Let it overtake them, God. Whatever they have need of, God, For Father God, we know, God, that when we are sowing into the kingdom, that God, you will take care of our needs. And Father, we thank you that you have blessed us. You have allowed a way for us to step into a place that God is like none before. It is a place that is designed specifically for us. A place in you, God, that has been designed and ordained for us. That no one can get into this special place that you have with us. No one can get into this special place where we hear the mysteries of the gospel. No one can get into the place that you have ordained for us. And Father, we're going to thank you. So we look forward to this next move. We look forward to this next destiny. We look forward to whatever it is that you have in this world. And Father, we thank you. We honor you. We praise you. And we give you glory. In Jesus' name, come on and give God some praise, all of those that are here on this podcast. Welcome to the RTRMI radio broadcast. My name is Pastor Robert J. Douglas, and I am the proud and the honorable servant leader of a great bunch of individuals that is on fire for God and really to just ready to be a servant and trying to be transformed to the likeness of Christ. And that is none other than the Restoring the Remnant Ministries International Family. So I praise God to be the leader or to be the servant, to be the a great bunch of individuals that God has allowed me to be a shepherd to. And I thank God for each and every one of you that are here, that are on this podcast. I don't know where you may be. You may be in New York. You may be in Chicago. You may be in Tampa. You may be in Riverview. You may be in St. Pete, Brandon, Indonesia, China. It doesn't matter where you are. We want to let you know that we thank you for being a part of us, and we love you just as Christ loved you, and we thank you for coming on. So I pray that this podcast will be a blessing to you. I pray that this podcast will be something that will nourish your body, nourish your soul, will begin to shake and challenge everything that the enemy has done in your life or trying to do in your life, that will give you the knowledge to understand that God has a place and a desire for you, and he has a purpose for your life. That you will understand and that you will know that you are not broken, you are not a mistake, that you are not cast down, you are not destroyed, you are not wasted, you are not unwanted, but God loves you with the everlasting love that goes far beyond we could ever imagine. And I just want to encourage you to let you know that if you don't get anything out of this today, know that you are loved. Know that God has a place prepared for you, for those that accept him as his personal savior, that God has a plan. He has so many things that is wrapped up into his word. And tonight we just want to walk into those things and begin to understand and know some different things here. So I thank God for each and every one of you that are on here. I thank you for that opportunity to be able to have the opportunity to speak positive enforcement in your lives. I know with everything that's going on in this world and everything that we are seeing, you know, there's a big concern with, you know, the school systems and what's going to happen and how things are going to happen and how things are going to go. There's big concerns about, you know, the injustice that's going on in the world. There's big concerns about the epidemic of the COVID-19 situation that's going on. There's also an epidemic of where you'll find many churches are shutting down and are backing away from their assignment and their mission and their ministry, that they feel that the pandemic is halting their ministry. And I just believe that the pandemic is not halting any ministry or should halter any move of God, but it actually is our purpose. The reason why we are set here on this earth. Every ministry, every spiritual believer, every preacher, pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophetess, apostle, whatever your title may be or whatever your calling may be, if you're just a child of God, this time, this pandemic is basically for you. And what I mean by this for you is because of the fact that what it does, it begins to allow you to pay attention to the things of what's going on in this world, allows you to understand what your assignment, and it opens up a door, I would say, of opportunity for us to walk into our purpose and walk into the things that God has already ordained for us to do. So without further ado, I'm going to get into our Bible study tonight. It's going to be a discussion. And it was one thing that actually I was kind of rattling around with in my head and had some different thoughts and some things that the Holy Spirit began to impress upon my heart. And the topic of our Bible study, in which we're going to go into, and we may jump around in a few scriptures here and there. We may jump around in a few different things. The topic of this Bible study today is chosen. Chosen. And hopefully, God willing, we'll go into many different things when it comes to what we have. So I wanted to talk about the concept of chosen. I don't know if you remember, and many of you, when you were growing up as a child, it kind of brought back some memories to me. When I was growing up as a child, you know, we didn't have all the things and the games that the kids have now. Like my son, he can stay in the room, you know, pretty much all day and not even come out to civilization, don't even need to see the sun, don't even need to see anything, or you can get air or fresh air from outside because he has so many digital devices that entertains him. Even the interaction that he has now is with either digitally, either by way of a game or just by way of maybe a cell phone or whatever that device may be. But I remember when I was growing up as a kid and, you know, we didn't have a lot of the digital devices. We had our bicycles, we had basketballs. We went outside and we played, and we had to make sure that we came home before the street lights were off. But I do remember that when my friends would gather together, and if we're playing football, or if we may play, hide and go seek, or we may play, we may play tag or anything like that, anything that we may pick out certain things, is that we would often line up and we would pick teams. You know, we'll pick captains, two captains. Let's say, for example, we're playing football. And we would pick captains, you know, that would just kind of find out who would be pretty much, and he usually was always the strongest player, or the ones that was almost kind of like the identified leader. And we would pick captains. And those captains or those teams that they were set aside were, they would pick, my God, this thing is going more deeper than I even had fathomed. Praise the Lord. So what would happen is those captains would then pick their selected team members. Not only select them, but they were actually chosen, or they would choose the members that they would have on their side. So you figure, let's say, for example, me, I'm on one team, and let's say Thomas is on another team, and we are the captains. So we will look into the group of people that is in our crew, be it you know, girl or boy, whatever it may be. We will look at a group of people that are in our crew, and we would begin to choose the ones that we felt would give us the better opportunity or give us the better favor or advantage that we may win the game that we're trying to win. And so a lot of times what we'll find is that the strongest players will always be the ones that were first chosen, or the more favored players would always be the ones that were chosen first. You know, whereas we would choose, you know, I'm going to choose Little Willie because Little Willie is strong. He likes to run. Or I'm going to choose Bobo because Bobo likes to jump. He's quick and agile. And I'm going to choose Sarah because Sarah he's good as far as strategy and plans and whatever the case may be. Or I will pick Joseph because Joseph, he's strong and he's agile. And where I would pick, Jebediah, and I'm just coming up with some crazy names, of course, you know, just keep you entertained. Because you know what, he had them names out there when he was a kid. Pick Jebediah because Jebediah was cool, you know, and he was tall and he was stocky or whatever it may be. So we had our select choice of different ones that we would choose. And a lot of times, you know, that one that was maybe not as liked or favored, or the one that may not have been the fastest runner, a lot of times it might have been the weakest link, so to speak. So he would probably be the last one chosen, right? Maybe the last one chosen. And I want you to think about that. I want you to think about, you know, look at it in the aspect of, you know, is like a lot of times, you know, it's better if we do the choosing compared to being chosen. I'm going to say that again. It's better that we do the choosing compared to being chosen. So when we think about it in relationship sense, and I'm going somewhere with this, when we think about it in a relationship sense, you know, the Bible says that when a man findeth a wife, you know, he obtaineth favor of the Lord. He findeth basically a good thing. So in other words, that man is the one that goes out and finds, and he begins to choose a particular, you know, female that he feels that God has led him to. And I'm talking about a godly man that he feels that God has led him to find her. But the most of the time what happens is, you know, most of the women, because of the fact they want to have a husband, want to have a good man, so to speak, they want to be the one that choose the type of man that they have, or they choose that to be. And you know, the thing about that is that yes, like I said, we always want to choose compared to being chosen. Well, today we're going to look at a bit of scripture that basically, begins to reverse that. You know, it's a set of scripture that looks at our whole plan of life. You know, it looks at a whole plan of existence and understanding when it comes to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, when it comes to our faith walk, when it comes to these different things. You know, oftentimes, and you may have always, you know, you always may have, you know, kind of gotten in your mindset sometimes like, okay, Lord, why me? You know, why me? Why do I have to go through this process? Why do I have to go through this pain? Why do I have to go through this suffering? Why do I have to go through, this particular adversity? Why do I have to go through this hardship? Or why do I have to go through these different things? And what I'm learning in life, and as we begin to truly trust God and begin to walk into the grace and the favor that He has really given us as a way of strengthening us to push us forward. But what I'm understanding now is that a lot of times it is all because Christ chose us. We never really think about it to that aspect. You know, God chose us. Christ chose us. He began to make you the one that is going through this particular situation. He makes you the one that, you know, is favored to go through this adversity. Now, this can be good, bad, or indifferent. And what we have to do is we have to get an understanding and get a grounding reasoning, or we have to settle our hearts and our minds by understanding that when God has done something, He always, always has a better purpose in mind. Amen. When God has done something, He has a better purpose in mind. So with that being said, let's go into the scripture. I'm going to really go to our first scripture here, and I'm going to go to John. And we're going to go through Let's go and start at John. I'm going to go through the John 15. And I want to jump down into let's go to the 9th verse. Actually, I want to go to the 8th verse. And really, I want to read the whole chapter, but for the sake of time, I want to kind of narrow it down so I can kind of get to the level and the points that I want to kind of touch upon. Well, let's go into John 15 and starting at the 9th verse. And it says that, and I'm reading from the King James Version, I believe, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments," I'm at the 10th verse, "if ye keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. 14, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." 16, and here is where we want to kind of bring attention to our topic and our theme of today. 16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you." And I want to read down a little bit further, "that these things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, you knew that it hated me before it hated you. 19, if you were of the world will love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Okay? I want you to understand that initially that you have been chosen. Yes, you have been chosen. Now, just that alone, you just think about it. When you are chosen, it is an awesome feeling. It is an awesome feeling when a person chooses you, when an awesome feeling that a person looks at you and sees something in you that is of value to them, you know, and for their, what they are doing. And you have to understand this. We have to understand this, that, you know, with so many things in this world, we are, you know, and so many things that we may have faced in our lives, you know, a lot of us and some people are, let's be real, all of us at one time or another have dealt with the spirit of rejection. We have dealt with not being called upon or not being considered or not being, included in, or we may have been abandoned. And that is the very thing that the enemy tries to magnify in our lives. Whereas he, because of your different things that you may face in life, in some cases, some people may not have had the full life of having their mother and their father there, or whatever the case may be. And so with not having their father there, they may felt, you know, hey, well, I was abandoned by my father. My father didn't love me. He didn't want to be in my life. He didn't want to, you know, to be a part of me. What, it didn't show that he loved me. So there's a spirit of rejection that the enemy magnifies, and he basically tries to dictate and uses that feeling or that spirit of abandonment, so to speak, or spirit of rejection, to number one, diminish the value that God has already ordained for your life. And with that, we have to be careful. We have to be so careful, because if we get caught up into our feelings or emotion of what things seem to be, we will miss out on what God is actually doing. What I mean by that is sometimes, you know, God will allow a certain series of events to happen in your life, or he may allow certain things to take place in your life, all for a purpose and a plan that he has that we a lot of times may not see. If you think about it like this, Christ was going to, or was actually getting ready, or is en route to lay down his life. And at this time, you know, he had a group of men that he chose, right? A group of men that he chose. Now, maybe get a little bit ahead of myself, but he had a group of men that he chose, which were disciples. He picked them. He didn't, you know, they didn't choose him. He chose them, right? So he had a group of disciples that he picked out for their own different individual talents. Now, the interesting thing about God and about Christ is that he didn't choose, you know, the cream of the crop or the ones that had the, you know, the wisdom. He chose a mixed, diverse group of people. He picked some wild ones, he's picked some soft ones, and he picked some loose ones, and he picked some smart ones, and he picked some timid ones, and he's picked some aggressive ones. You know, they all had their good little mix, but it was all for his purpose of plan. We didn't understand exactly what he was doing, but he had did it for a purpose or a plan, right? On that same token, he shared with them everything that was about to take place. He shared with them what's going to happen. I'm going to die. The Son of Man is going to be crucified. But, you know, when they ask you who, you know, he said it, you know, who do they say that I am? And they ask you who I am, what are you going to say? They're going to maybe come after you because you are associated with me, okay? They're going to come after you because you are associated with me, okay? What are you going to do? So he began to tell them the purpose and the plan of his crucifixion, but they didn't really hear it. So what he allowed certain things to take place, and he began to talk to him about certain things. I'm going to reveal my plan right to you. I'm revealing it right to you so that you can see it. And there are times when Christ will God will reveal his plan to us, where we can see it from point A to point B to point C, but then all of a sudden it'll skip from point C all the way over to point G. So in other words, D, E, and F points, they're missed. It's not that those are missing, but it's that is the part that we have to process through. Those are the things that God has his own divine plan, his own divine will. So what I'm getting back to my point is that a lot of times what God would do, he may pluck out certain things in your life because he knows that for the course or the path that I'm going to have you go in, for the place that I'm going to take you, for the place where I want I have chosen you to walk through, you may not understand it right now. You may not understand why I decided to remove this person out of your life. You may not understand why I decided not to have you have a strong relationship with this particular individual, or you may not understand why I had you have a strong relationship with this particular individual. That may not be connected to you in any type of way. It is because that even in that plan and that purpose, it's Romans 8:28, that all things are working together for the good of him that love God and are called according to his purpose and to his plan. So it may be that sometimes God will have to remove certain people out of your way, out of your life, because that thing that they are dealing with or the purpose and the plan that he has for them may conflict with what the purpose and plan that he has for you. And sometimes it may hurt. It may not feel good. It may not, you know, may not make sense to us. But sometimes I'm learning that rejection, when God, when we feel that God is rejecting us or he's rejected us, not able to hang around certain people or to do certain things, that very time when we think that we are being rejected is the very time that God is actually protecting you. He's protecting that anointing that's inside of you. He's protecting the gifting that he has for you. He's protecting your innocence. He's protecting your joy. He's protecting your peace sometimes. So sometimes, because of the fact that he will strip certain things away from us, he will strip certain things out of our life that's not a part of his purpose and his plan at that particular time. And he will strip us. And the sad part about it is that in that, he chooses to take certain things out of there. And he chooses to strip it out. And here's the thing that we have to kind of wrestle in our minds with, or we have to really accept, is sometimes when he rips something out of it, sometimes he allows that the thing that was unraveled to stay unraveled for a little bit. I don't know if I'm the only one that has experienced that. You know, is that sometimes there are some things in my life that were just clean cut, that was removed, certain relationships that I may have been in, certain people that I knew, certain associations that I was a part of, or just certain lifestyles that, you know, at one time that, you know, I was, was in and, you know, was thinking I was going to go along with that particular lifestyle or whatever it may have been. But then he allowed me to, those things to be stripped from me. Now, was it a clean cut where it, you know, it didn't really hurt as much? No, sometimes it was ripped apart. And that ripping, that tearing, that level where, you know, there's that cut or that gash or that scar. Even though we don't understand that sometimes God will choose us to experience that, the purpose and the plan for that, sometimes he will rip something away and make it seem so devastating, or we may think it's so devastating. But the thing about it is, when he does and he chooses a thing, he also knows who he is to that thing. I'm going to say that again. When God chooses a thing or chooses something to do or chooses a person or chooses whatever, he knows what he is already to that person and what that person is to them. What I mean by that, if God begins to take away someone, I'm going to use this as an example. Let's say, for example, for some reason, mom and dad, you know, they had that little sparkle in their eye. And they, you know, kind of had the Marvin Gaye playing. They had the brown liquor pouring. And at that time, you were created. Sometimes it is what it is. But daddy had issues. Daddy had some issues that he had to deal with. Daddy had some bad habits. Daddy had some messed up situations. He was involved in some messed up situations. And as much as you may have thought that you would love daddy, or as much as you would thought daddy would have been a focal point in the development of your life, when as what he should have been, as much as you thought that daddy would lead and guide you and protect you and to provide for you and all these different things, as much as you thought daddy was going to do all these things, God already knew that he was more than what your daddy could have been in any kind of capacity. And to protect the innocence or protect the purpose or the plan that God has ordained for your life, he may strip something away and allow it to go on by this path and begin to be the very thing that you were seeking to you, because he knows who he is to that individual. I don't know if this makes sense for anybody. But I want you to understand that God loves us so much that sometimes it seems like it may hurt us, or it seems like the path that he takes for us may be difficult at times. But we cannot let our hearts fail. We cannot let our minds get weary. We cannot let our faith diminish. But we have to understand and know that the very love that God has for us at the beginning when he created us is the same love that he will take on through the end, because he chose us. He chose you. You know, he chose everything about you. He knows exactly every number of the hairs that's on your head, even the ones that you may have bought. He knows exactly, you know, the things that you like and what you don't like. He knows one thing that make you upset and make you frustrated. He knows the things that will put a smile on your face. He knows the things that will bring tears to your eyes. He knows the things that will bless you and let you know that he's there and that you are loved. He knows your love language. He knows exactly everything about you. He knows what you like. Matter of fact, God knows us so well that he knows the thing before we ever see the thing and know that we're going to like it. Yeah, now that may be something that may, you know, say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, let me just ask you this. You never knew that you would love your Christian walk in Christ right now, back in the day. You couldn't even imagine it. You didn't know that you would be that person that desired to hear God's word, that desire to hear all those gospel songs. You didn't know. I remember when I was a kid, I went to church so much, I didn't want nothing else to do with church. I went to every doggone rehearsal, every prayer meeting, every Bible band meeting, every Sunday school meeting, men's choir meeting, mother's board meeting, pastoral aid board meeting, deacon's trustee meeting, clean up the church meeting, fried chicken on Sunday meeting, prepare the chicken on Saturday meeting. We went to all kind of meetings, and you got tired of just going to church, and you got tired of going to different things. But when that thing is gone and you need it, you never thought that you would enjoy the grace of God as much as you enjoy the grace of God right now. You never thought that you would love God in the way of how he moves and how he just begins to blow your mind at times. You never thought that you would appreciate how he breaks every day up and begins to give you peace and give you his understanding and give you his strength and to give you his joy and to give you his love. You never thought back in the day that you would enjoy the things of God until you stepped into the things of God. You was looking for your substance from somebody that you were choosing. It might have been a person that you was trying to choose. It might have been a particular activity. It might have been a particular, a particular lifestyle that you were choosing. But God chose you, and he began to start the plan and work to bring you out of whatever it was that you were in by way of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit began to move. You started getting convicted. You started, you know, kind of feeling a certain type of way. You started thinking about certain things. You started saying, you know what, let me reconsider this whole thing. Yeah, I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. And if I'm off track, somebody let me know and send me some hearts or something and let them know I'm speaking on something. That God begins to, he knew exactly the point of time when you would need him the most, because he chose you. He chose you from the foundations of the world. He chose you before you was in your mother's womb, and he ordained you to be something. He ordained and purposed a plan and plotted that you would be something that you never thought that you would ever be. He chose you. You were chosen. And the thing about being chosen is what Christ says. He says that, I'm going to go back to the 15, because to me it's kind of, it's really powerful, is that in John 15 and 16, he says that, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." That right there gives us the understanding to know that there is some type of value that we have with him, that we have some type of purpose and we have some type of plan. So you're never thrown away. You're never caught cast down. Because, you know, out of all the million peoples in the world that's out there, that's still populating now, especially with this quarantine, all these many people that's being created now, black, white, red, yellow, different, all these different things, Black Lives Matter, Yellow Life Matters, All Life Matters, whatever the case may be, all those different people, God has chosen you. We didn't choose him. He chose us. He chose to lay down his life for us. We didn't ask him, say, Christ, won't you go ahead and do this? If you will, bro, can you hook us up with this? No, he said, you know what? Because I know the separation. I know how my Father loves the creation. I will choose you over my own self. I will choose you. You didn't choose me. I choose you over myself. So I have chosen. He says that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever you shall ask for the Father my name, he may give it to you. Here's the benefit. Just in that scripture alone, I want you to understand. Here is the benefit of being chosen. The benefit of being chosen by God, the benefit of going through that whole process when God cleans you up, separates you from different things, begins to put you on the right track. The benefit of being chosen by God is the responsibility that you have by being chosen by God. Number one, you feel there is a honor that you feel. There's a joy that you feel because number one, you understand that now somebody is looking at me and they are giving me a chance. Let's talk about this team. So say, for example, you and your boys, your buddies, your sisters, your brothers, and everything like that, y'all are sitting on a team, y'all finna go play tag. And you didn't think that you'd be the one that would be picked. So maybe, let's say, for example, you're the second choice. So to keep the other team from getting the benefit of having you on their team or my team, I would say, if I'm the captain, I'm going to choose you before the other person chooses you. And I'm going to choose the best ones quickly, right? So with doing that, that basically means that the person that's doing the choosing sees the benefit in you and he's like, okay, let me grab you, let me snatch you quick because I want to use Sister Sade for my glory. I want to use Sister Keisha for my glory. I want to use Joseph for my glory. I want to use Brother Smith for my glory. I want to use Bridget for my glory. I want to take Gloria across the water, and I want to let her know that I trust her character so much that I'm going to give her $1 million so that she can set up some type of orphanage over here or set up some type of business for the kingdom. I'm going to choose you because I see that value in you. Before I let the enemy get you, I'm going to, or my opponent get you, I'm going to choose you first. That's one of the benefits. Now, once we get that benefit of being chosen, amen, we get that benefit of being chosen, then he says that I've chosen you and I ordained you. In other words, I've empowered you. I have so much faith in the in who you are, because you have to understand this. This is powerful to me, and I begin to read this. God has so much faith in who we are, and it's not because of our own merit. Listen to what I'm saying. It's not because, you know, we look good, we smell good, we speak well, we read very well, we can pray very well, all those good things. Yes, you know, it's not that thing. He says that and ordained you, right? And ordained you. When you look up the definition of ordained, it says, and I'm reading from, I just Googled it, and it says, make someone a priest or a minister, confer holy orders on. In other words, have an order or decree or given something officially. Okay. You know, I don't know if y'all remember when I went to, as being a pastor and being ordained, right? I want y'all to remember that, just remember that. Okay. So when the ordination process, it's where the individuals consecrate, or in other words, or set aside, someone for the use of the ministry. Okay? Hear me clearly. He set aside and ordained, basically. So say, for example, when I was becoming a deacon, I was ordained as a deacon. When I became a minister, I was ordained as a minister. And I think that when I became a pastor, I was ordained as a pastor. But when it comes to when it comes to an apostolic calling or being an apostle, and as well as what they profit, they're not necessarily, in a sense, ordained. They are commissioned. And that's a little difference. We'll get into that a little later. But ordained basically is where they're set aside for that sect number as the giving the ability to be a priest or to minister, or to, in other words, to carry or to perform or to do holy ordinances, or has a certain particular or holy orders. In other words, Christ says in 16, he says that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. In other words, consecrated you. I've given you the orders. I've given you the ability. I've given you the authority to operate in a holy capacity, in the capacity of a priest. I give you the orders to operate in the capacity of a minister, operate in the capacity of a priest, operate in the capacity of a holy one, of a sent one, of a saved one, of a sent one, of a sanctified one, of a sent one, of a glory carrier or worshiper, whatever. I give you the ordained orders, okay, to carry. I give you your papers that you shall go and bring forth fruit. Okay, so it gives us a responsibility because he automatically knows it's not by what you think or your abilities are. It's because the anointing or the blessings or the favor or the calling that he places upon you. And it doesn't always have to be a minister, pastor, preacher, talk, these teachers. It could just be someone that is called by God to minister, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't have to always share the gospel behind a podium. You don't have to always share the gospel on a podcast or whatever it may be. You can share the gospel of Jesus Christ by your lifestyle. You can share the gospel of Jesus Christ by your demeanor, by your character, by your integrity. And that's what I'm learning in life, that right now, sometimes, see, God is stripping away the collars. He's stripping away the pulpits. He's stripping away the churches at itself. And he's allowing us to walk into a level or walk into a place where he's ordaining his people. He's ordaining the remnant. He's ordaining those that have been cast down, torn down, been torn up, torn apart, and been counted as dead, has been counted as being nothing, being less of nothing, has no value, has no favor. So the world says, but he says that I've chose you because I saw the value in you. Even though the enemy may cast you down and use you for what they wanted and then throw you away, I have a purpose and a plan for your life, and I am going to elevate you. I'm going to make sure that you be whatever you need to be because I see the value in you, so I'm going to invest in that, and I'm going to give you and ordain you so that, excuse me, that you shall go, you shall go. Listen, we have been bought with a price, and this may be a challenge to every one of us that is on this podcast. I don't care who you are, what you are. If you're part of this ministry or not a part of this ministry, as long as you're a part of the body of Christ, he has ordained us, and he has commissioned us to go forth. And what I mean by go forth, that could be anything. Go forth. If God has led you to pray and be an intercessor, ministry of intercession, wow, getting tongue-tied, to have a ministry of intercession, he has given you the ordination. He has given you the ability. He has pressed it upon your heart to go and be that which he has called you to be. You don't need man to fully validate you. Now, your pastor or like myself, with discernment and what we sing and he looks at all those things, my job is to make sure I push you to do the things that he's already ordained for you to do. So in that level, knowing some of the things that I have to kind of the qualifications I have to go through myself, which is character and all these different things, demeanor and patience, all that stuff that we are being processed with, all that stuff that, those trials and tribulations are testing, all those things that we had to be shaped and molded from. When we get to that level where we wanted to snatch instead of now snatching or wanting to snatch, we now want to release and let go and pray to lay hands and recover them from this, be holy and compared to being violent and grabbing hold to him and snatching, but we let go, we release, we have a different mindset. And that's by way of the transformation of Christ in us, the transformation of Christ growing in our hearts, growing in our minds, growing in our soul, growing in our faith, that we get to a level where he now can ordain us and sends us out so that we can go. Okay. Now, here's another part of that, because like again, I said, it's talking about responsibility, and I'm about to close. So I hope that you're getting something out of this. But he ordains us and he commissions us to go. When he commissions us to go, he is requiring something of us. So when you think about it like this, I chose you, okay? So we, first of all, I chose you because I see some value in you. I want to use you. I have faith in you that you can do what I believe that you can do, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to let you just go out there all willy-nilly. I'm going to ordain you. In other words, I'm going to give you the authority. I'm going to give you the ability. I'm going to give you the license, spiritual license. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you I'm going to give you the spiritual salt that you need as far as wisdom and experience in the word and being tested by the word of God, by living your life in a way according to the word and being tested and tried, that you know that no matter what comes your way, what matter comes against you, that you know the word is always going to remain strong and sure in your life, and that your character is going to represent the word of Christ that I have taught you. Right? So, ordained, called, okay, we go. And the next part of that, it talks about bring forth fruit, that ye shall go and bring forth fruit, right? So this fruit that we are bringing, you know, is good fruit and there's bad fruit. Now it says that, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you, right? So he says that your fruit shall remain, right? So that whatsoever that he gives you, what is that basically with that fruit, that it will not waste away and will not rot. So you may ask, and here's the thing that we have to get into deeper conversation on. What is that fruit? What is the fruit that Christ is requiring of us? Because he chose us. He's looking for set order of fruit. What is that fruit that Christ is requiring for us that will actually empower us, that would actually give us the access to the blessings, the riches, the favor of what God has ordained for us? See, everything ties in together. Everything ties in together. And when we think about what it says there in 16, and I'm going to read it again because it just really just hit my spirit, that you shall have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You have to understand what we have. I'm just going to stop at 16. But I'm going to go back a little bit. It says that, and your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I don't know if you ever seen, like we used to go to my job at Ned Park, or matter of fact, or any one of us, when you think about certain things that you have access to, right? So when you go to, matter of fact, I'm going to use my phone, cell phone. And I think I've used this concept before. On my cell phone, I have, when it actually locks on my cell phone, in order for me to access all the wonders and mysteries of my cell phone, to get text messages, to make a phone call, to get online, to look at my accounts, to look at church's accounts, to look at whatever it may be that I need to. From that phone, which is a small device, when it locks, no one else other than myself has access to that phone. Okay, no one else has access to the phone. Even Bridget. Bridget can, you can look on that phone, and the way that my phone is set up, if she doesn't know the passcode, because it really goes beyond a passcode. If she doesn't know the passcode, which she does know my passcode, but if she doesn't know my passcode, and Jada knows my passcode too. I don't know how that girl get through all this stuff. But anyway, but she cannot get into my phone. Not that I'm hiding anything or nothing like that. It's just that she doesn't have the access. I have to give her the access, right? The way that I have access to my phone and to pop it up to make it live is that on the back of it, there's a little sensor. And on that sensor, I have to put my fingerprint on it, my fingerprint sensor. And the minute I put my fingerprint sensor, which is my own fingerprint, my Jada doesn't even have my same fingerprint. When I put my fingerprint on the phone, it opens up access to everything that needs to be on there. So if I open up access and give my phone, listen to what I'm saying very carefully. I open up the access and give my phone to my wife, which is Bridget. She now has the exact same access because I access it through my fingerprint or my fingerprint, my access. She accessed it through my fingerprint. And now she has the same access to operate and do everything on my phone. Whereas if she decided to say, you know what, let me go and send the text message to the church text message on my phone, the only thing that you're going to see is the representation of my phone number, which you have already associated that number of 813-856-7329. But those of you that know that number is the number for Pastor. And I know that you know the number because sometimes when I call you, you act like you don't see me calling. Anyway, but that's going to be beside the point. But it identifies who I am. But it could be Miss Bridget calling you from that number through access to me. What am I saying? Is that what Christ is saying to us? Is that I'm giving you the access. However, the access that you must have in order that my Father can identify you and see you and understand that you have been chosen, hear me clearly, that you have been chosen to gain all the blessings that I have the ability to ask for in my name. So when my Father says, God, forgive them for they know not what they sue. When I say to my Father, forgive them, Lord, Father, for they know not what they do. Then he forgives them because he's looking at my fruit. I'm talking as if I was in the nature of Christ. He's looking at my fruit. He's seeing my blood. He's seeing that everything that I did was tested, tried, and proved. That even through my trials and tribulations, even through my processes, even through my hangups, being ridiculed, being ostracized, being crucified, being talked about, being whipped on my back, being spat on, being punched in the face, had to carry my own cross, dying for people that did not love me, did not even want to even recognize me, that actually ran for me, even my boys that was with me, they want to cut off people there in 1 minute to try to fight for me, but when they actually not give myself over, they scatter out and just begin to start cussing. So when they come to God and they say, hey, God, can you do such and such and such? He's looking for a fruit that's going to identify the same power that Christ has, which is the same power that, say, for example, I would have if I was in the nature of Christ. Christ says that when you go to my Father and you begin to ask my Father to bless you or to heal you or to deliver you or to do all these things, you have to have some type of fruit that's going to identify who you are and that I have chosen you and that you are related to me. Because if you are not related to me, you will not have access. But because I have chosen you, then I'm giving you the ability and the authority because I'm giving you a commandment and I'm asking you to change yourself. Because if you go back further up in John, when it talks about all the different things that it's talking about, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his love for his friends, that if you love me, you will keep my commandments, that as a father hath loved me, so have I loved you and continue in my love. Here is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done in you. If a man abide not in me, and the case forth has a branch that is withered, and a man gather them and cast them into the fire, they are burned. He is telling you all in the beginning of that scripture that we did not read, that you have to go through that whole process of different things and make sure you check it off and make sure that your fruit is identifiable with me. If it's not identifiable with me, you do not have access. You have not been chosen. But yet, he chose us. So with that, that gives you a commission. It gives you a charge. It gives us a charge to make sure we check our fruit. What is our fruit? Well, we'll see what it would be next week. Amen. And praise God. This is the end of the Bible study. I hope that you have been blessed by what God has done for today. I hope that you have in some way have been enlightened, have been charged, has been, you know, changed, have been pricked, has been, you know, stirred up. Because I do believe that God has a word in this season, and that word is sitting right inside of you. Gracious and Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you, Father, for this time in your presence. We thank you, Father, for all the things that you are doing right now, the things that you are will do, all the things that you have said. We thank you, Father, for this word. And Father, right now, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for choosing us. We thank you so much, Father, that God, that you have ordained us. Your oil of anointing is upon our heads. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask that we begin to work on our fruit. Let us have the fruit, God, that's going to be presented unto you, that God will identify us with Christ. And Father God, teach us, guide us, lead us into the knowledge of your understanding. Let us understand what that fruit is. And Father, let us cultivate each fruit line by line, precept upon precept, and that we may change, that we may be called on you, and that we may be presented to you as a pure sacrifice, that we may be used by you and used by God. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for those that have come onto this podcast. I pray, Father, right now, if there be anyone under the sound of my voice that has not known Christ as their personal Savior, I pray right now by the authority of Jesus Christ that they'll begin to know, they'll begin to believe, and they'll begin to understand that God, you are the creator, you are the Alpha, you are the Maker, you are the beginning, and you are the end. I pray, Father, that they come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I pray, God, that right now, that those that have not accepted you as their Lord and Savior, that God, today, that they will make that decision, that they would be bold enough, Father, to just close their eyes and repeat after me that, Father, I'm a sinner. Today, I make you my Lord. I ask, God, that you forgive me of my sins. I know that Christ, your son, Jesus, is the Son of God, that he died on my sin, on the cross for my sins. And you said that in John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish and have everlasting life. So today, God, I make you my Lord. Come into my heart. I ask you, forgive me of my sins and remove all iniquity. And today, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit lead and guide me to all truths. I pray, Father, that right now that you begin to clean me up from the inside out. Let me know what your love is. Teach me your ways. Show me, God, and keep me, Father. I pray, God, and I come against every struggle and stronghold going back from generations past that tried to hinder me up to this day. I break every generational curse that was assigned to my life. I break every struggle, every stronghold, every demonic attack, every demonic force. I command it to be destroyed. I am healed. I am delivered and I am set free. But furthermore, God, I have been restored and I'm restoring you. So Father, I pray this prayer that those people that may have come to know you, God, that you begin to enlighten them and lead them to a Bible teaching, Bible preaching, Bible believing church, that they may grow in you, that they may be able to display that fruit at the end time. Praise God. I pray that you all have been blessed by this Bible study. I pray that you have been healed. I pray that you have been delivered. And furthermore, I know without a shadow of a doubt that you have been restored. This is Pastor Robert J. Douglas, the proud servant leader of RTRMI International by way of Tampa, Florida. God bless you. Good night. Pastor B, out.